Now that salvation does not come by works. We're going to give you some Bible to back that up. There's a lot of misunderstanding today, I think, in a lot of people's minds. As a matter of fact, most anyone that you hear that's died, you know, people put them in heaven. But a person's not going to go to heaven unless they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We're going to show you that from the Bible. So without Jesus as our Savior, all mankind is lost and he is sentenced to eternal death. Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So everyone is a sinner until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They're lost. Salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thank God that he made a way that mankind could have eternal life. This is the good news of the gospel, and we should be quick to share that with us around us, because the majority of the world, and I say this, I think, and certainty, but the majority of the world is lost and on their way to hell. Now, they don't have eternal life. Some has been misled greatly by the devil and his work. And some think that one day they're going to go to heaven, and according to whether or not their good works outweigh their bad, they will enter heaven or be turned away. I know I was in attendance to a funeral not too often long ago, and the person that was holding that funeral kept saying over and over, "perhaps" and "maybe" and all that stuff. But we don't need to have to worry about maybe and perhaps. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the personal Savior, we have eternal life. If we turn him away, we don't have eternal life, and we're on our way to hell. But I thank God that he made a way that mankind could escape that terrible place of hell. Now, a lot said today about hell. As a matter of fact, I was talking to someone just last week, and they was talking about they went to a church and for several months, or maybe even years, and hell was never mentioned. That's the society we're living in today. Everybody goes to heaven in this society, and that's just not the facts. The fact is, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and turned to him as your Savior, you're on your way to hell. John, the 14th chapter and 6th verse says this. We'll read two or three of these scriptures just as an introduction of where we're going. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." See, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He is the only way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary, is the only way that we can be saved. And we either accept that and have him as our Savior, or turn him away. And that I've often said, that's the most important decision a person will make while he's living here on this earth. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We're already condemned. The Lord came to give us salvation, and he came to save. John, the 3rd chapter and the 36th verse says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The only way that you can be saved is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the only way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. Right. The only way. And I know today there's a broad road of people's thinking, but there's a narrow road in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of organizations today, I won't even call them churches, that have I guess, talk their congregation in, to salvation, and they've never had that experience of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That must be, if you are now, of eternal life. I got a guy that I listen to quite often. Matter of fact, I listen to him a lot. He talks about that eternal life. We'll never die. You know, our bodies will die, but our soul will never die. And he talks about that's the only way that you can have eternal salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's some confusion of how to be saved. I know I think back over the years, and I think of one situation in my memory of this person said they've lived a good life, and it's what you do. The good things you do in life is what's going to take you to heaven. Well, that's good. Be a good person, be a good neighbor, be a good friend, be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good child. That won't take you to heaven. Only by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Trusting in the work that he did on the cross of Calvary. Nothing else. Nothing else. You know, I know a lot of people in my lifetime that was really pretty good people as far as being honest. They wouldn't lie to you. They wouldn't steal. They wouldn't, you know, they was good to their neighbors. If a neighbor needed help, they was there to help them. May have never turned to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, or we never seen that in their life. So the devil will lie to a person and say, well, you can just live a good life and you can go to heaven. Not so. Have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. Now concerning salvation and works, let's examine two covenants that God made in Ephesians. And thinking about when we talk about a covenant, we think about a binding agreement. And there can be nothing more certain than a binding agreement that God has made. Nothing more certain. You know, in today's world, you really don't know. I've been going through some things in the last few months with lawyers and with government and with, and it's very confusing. And sometimes you think, well, am I doing the right thing? You know, this person will say this thing and this other will have a disagreement and they have another opinion. But we don't have to worry about God. When God makes a binding agreement, a covenant with mankind, you better believe that it will be for eternity. God says that he will not speak one word of untruth. Every word he speaks will stay for eternity. Now, I know we've got a real bad situation in our government today. I was just listening to news this morning, and I say it's amazing to me what happened in that election. We just don't know what's going to happen next. And, you know, they say that the abortion situation was what caused the election to be like it was. But everything's uncertain. Everything's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. But we can be certain of one thing. If God promises, we can base our eternity on it. Base our eternity on it. So it's a binding agreement, a formal sealed agreement, so to speak, or a contract made by God. Covenant. Let's look at that. That'll help us to understand the difference between the two covenants we're going to read about. If you would, turn your Bible to Ephesians, the second chapter. Most of you know where I'm going. But look at the 8th and the 9th verse. We see that first covenant. For by grace are ye saved through faith. This is a statement. By grace, ye through faith. You're saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. I've often put it this way. If I had a $100 bill, I don't have. But if I had a $100 bill and I held it out and I said, you come and get this $100 bill and it's yours. That's how simple really salvation is. The devil will get in there and try to throw all kinds of as the old saying goes, monkey wrenches in the works. But if you just receive it, it's a free gift from God. Not something that we've done, but what God has done for us. A free gift. It's that simple. If you just accept this $100 bill, it's yours. That's pretty simple. But you must come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. A lot of people say, well, God won't send it. Well, God don't send anyone to heaven. He made a way that people could escape him, that people could be saved and have eternal life. And I don't know, I was listening just last week, someone kind of described some of the things that he thought heaven was going to be like. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know it's going to be a lot better place than here. It's going to be a wonderful place. I think about sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. He's been gone now for a little over 2,000 years. Or no, it's been about 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Now, what a magnificent place that must be. But the only way that we can go there is by trusting in Him. And it's a true, it is a truly free gift from God. The grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now the covenant in these verses is a covenant of faith. Salvation comes through faith. Only through faith. We have to come to realize what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and that He paid the sin debt. And then accept Him as personal Savior. Now there's repentance that goes along with that, but the main point here is trusting Him as our Savior, as our Deliverer, trusting Him. And once that happens, when we really come to that point in our life, He gives us eternal life. We'll be a different person. The Bible says it will be a new creation. We'll have Christ, we'll have the Holy Spirit living with us. We cannot be the same as we was before. Cannot be the same. You may not see a lot of change right off the bat with people. They don't know a lot about the Bible, maybe. Don't know a lot about the Word of God. But as they learn, their life starts changing. We'll say something about that in just a few minutes. Salvation comes through faith by the grace of God. Now, we gain salvation by trusting in Him and only in trusting in Him. Our works, our goodness, you might say, don't procure it or don't add to it, nor does it make it any more sure. Now, right off the bat, the devil comes to a Christian and old Christians too. Say, look at that, what you've done. You've lost your salvation. Not so. God gives us eternal life. It's eternal. Now, you may be out of fellowship and you may need to study the Word of God more and pray more and ask God to forgive you of your shortcomings. But we have shortcomings every day. If you think that you live above shortcomings, you're wrong.
Right.
We're human beings. The world gets into our life and we allow some of it to have influence on us. And I know I've talked to people that say they're saved and leads me to believe they think that they don't ever sin. Just not so. We have shortcomings, and when you think of sin, it's not killing somebody, it's not stealing something from somebody. It may just be a thought that you might have. It may be an intention that it's not right in your life. Shortcomings, what a lot of times we kind of categorize them as something bad. But if, and it is bad. Don't misunderstand me. Any shortcoming is bad. But, a lot of times we don't see that in other people. You know, I might have a wrong thought in my head. You don't see that. But God does. God knows all about us. He knows all about us. So, for a person to think they're good enough to please God, they're completely wrong. Look what it says in Isaiah, the 64th chapter and the 6th verse. You've heard this scripture a lot. But we are all as an unclean thing. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, I've heard Brother over to Sister Church, I've heard him preach on this subject, and he said he used to be a delivery man for rugs and rags for some of these different companies around town. He's talking about that filthy rag. He said, he'd pick up bloody rags. He'd pick up rags that had been soaked in oil. And he kind of compared it. We're like that dirty rag. And he's talking about the sin that we have in our life. And notice here, all has unclean things. So we need salvation. We need a delivery from that condition that we're in. And the only way we can have that is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So the covenant of grace is based entirely on the reconciliation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And this whole thing that maybe this person lived good enough, he's going to heaven. If he don't have the testimony, if he don't have that in his life, he's not going to heaven. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Going back to the wide and the narrow road, and I think about maybe what I heard just last week, talking about the wide road. You hear all kinds of different ways to heaven. But the Word of God says there's only one way. Now, the way is broad in this world's terms, but the way is very narrow when you think about what the Bible says. The Bible says this is the only way. It's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Now, the second covenant I want to look at, and this is in verse 10, by the way, very next verse, has to do with another phase of a believer's life. That's after that he is saved. Let me say this. You can't do good until you are saved. That's not to say something someone does won't turn out to be good, or they might read the Bible or share the Bible with someone. That won't turn out good. But I'm talking about that person cannot gain good works within their being until they're saved. It's after salvation. And it's not for the removal of sin in their life. It's not for the removal of sin's guilt and the condemnation of sin. But with the kind of life that we live for Him after that we are saved. Now, I will say this. If you don't have the desire to please God, there's a problem. Because, let me tell you, if you look at Christ, He was all about pleasing the Father. God in the second person. All about pleasing the Father. So if you're born again, or you say you're born again, and don't have the desire to please God, something bad wrong. So God gives us that desire. The Holy Spirit leads us in that direction. As believers, we'll be rewarded according to how that we served the Lord after that we're saved. And we'll be rewarded accordingly. Kind of got off on my studies. I kind of got off on the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be a judgment seat of Christ. Everyone's going to stand before Christ one day and be judged. The Christian is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. But there's going to be a great white throne judgment where that the lost will be judged. Everyone's going to stand before the God and be judged for how they lived their life. And I'm thankful that my life is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, can you imagine? One day, you may have been dead for 1,000 years. You may have been dead for 2,000 years, you know. And one day, you stand before God to be judged in how you lived your life. And only what will matter is whether or not you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there won't be anybody there that has trusted in Him. It'll be only the lost. No hope. No hope. When I think about hell sometimes, I think about, you know, there's been times in my life, you know, that, I'll just give you an example. When I was in the service and I went overseas, you know, I had something to look forward to. You know, in a few months, I'm going to be home. Closer it got, more excited I got. When I was working, you know, you work, 40 hour weeks, and one time there I was working 60 and 70 hours a week, I think, but, I thought about vacation. Man, I'm going to have 2 weeks of vacation here. It's just a month away. But you know, in hell, there's not going to be anything to look forward to. It's eternal. There forever. A lot to think about. And you don't hear preachers preaching on hell today. You know, back when I was a kid, you hear this a lot. I know you probably get tired of hearing it. But preachers preached on hell. You went to revival or something, you're going to hear about hell. You're going to hear about hell. Certain preachers, if they're going to preach hell, they're going to preach it. We need to, that needs to be foremost in our mind. You just think about it. A friend that you might have here on this earth and he dies and goes to hell. That's a lot to think about. What could I have done to keep that from happening? You know, I just had a friend that I was in Vietnam with, died about 3 or 4 months ago. And I want to think one of the reasons why that he was, I'm the only friend that he had that he was in contact with, that was in the service with. Now over the years, he got with me a couple of times and you know, he wasn't living the life that he should, but I think that maybe I had an impression on him when I was in service. I didn't go with him to the saloon and I didn't do this, I didn't do that, and I prayed and I read my Bible and so on. I think that had an impression on me. And over the years, you know, and people notice that. I don't care if they're lost or they're saved. They notice that. You know, I know one guy that, you could just count on him. If you went to the break room during lunch, you'd find him reading his Bible. That had an impression on me. And when I think about that, I think about that person. I think, you know, that's a good testimony.
Right.
That's a good testimony. So hopefully, you know, I had some influence on him, but he left this world with a good testimony. And one of the things I talked to, the last conversation I had with him, make sure you're right with God. That's the most important thing. It's not whether you're sick and you won't get up and walk again or you can see again, or you're right with God. Make sure you're right with God. And that's the most important decision that we'll make. Now, a lot of times the devil try to make you think that a position in this life is most important. Now, our position with the Lord Jesus Christ is the important thing. So, in this verse, verses 10, for we are his workmanship. We've been created anew by God. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not by good works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, we have been saved in order that Christ might live in our life. Live through us. Be a testimony, a Christian, a Christ-like testimony to the world and the people around us. You know, some of the things that people say to you over the years has a lot of influence. Just last week, somebody said that, you know, 30-year-old testimony. And I was thankful for that, you know, that, and I thank them for even saying that, you know, 30-year-old testimony. That something that I've, you know, said or done or this or that or other. And I was thankful for that. It kind of encourages us, don't it? We look back over your life, you know, I think about Brother Jimmy, man. Tell people about Jesus. That's all he's got on his mind. You know, I look at the things he does and I think, how does he do all that? How in the world does he do all that? But I'm thankful for that. And many others here are involved greatly in that. As we get older, there's things we can't do. You know, if I ever get down, I can't hardly get up and things like that. Sometimes I fall. I think my daughter's inherited some of that, by the way. But she's better. Praise the Lord. We are kind of getting off the subject here. But we are saved to serve. We are saved to live a Christ-like life and be a testimony to those around us. And most of all, to share the gospel, that Jesus came and paid the sin debt. And he was buried and arose the third day and he's now at the right hand of the Father. No other religion that I know of in the world can claim that. They don't try to. They don't even try to. I mean, they can't claim it, but they don't even try to. We serve a living Savior. He's on the right hand of God, the Father, and He is our mediator. He is our, so to speak, a counselor, and He's making things right for you and I. I'm thankful for that. Now, this is where labor enters in. Once that we're saved, we're to labor. We are to read God's word, study God. Now, I know when a person's not been saved very long, they don't have a good education of what God has for them. And as they grow as a Christian, they learn more and more and more and more in their life, becomes more Christ-like. You can't expect someone that's lived a very ungodly life. And sometimes I'm absolutely amazed. I give this testimony. I know this one guy that anytime he's around him, he'd slang those curse words out. Just left and right. Just left and right. And one day I was around him. Not one curse word. Not one. I'm thinking something's happened to that old boy. And come to find out, he got saved. And God just took that habit away from him. That's a hard habit to break, by the way. It's a hard habit to break. I know of other instances where people have been alcoholics and all of a sudden it was taken from them. I think God expects us when we can to take care of it. But I know of testimonies where there's been drug addicts and they say that's one of the hardest things to get off of, where that God delivered them from that habit, so on and so forth. But as a new Christian, you know, I've given this example so many times. I was talking to someone one day about a certain scripture. I don't know exactly where it's at, but it was in somewhere in the New Testament, I guess. But the person started looking in the back. I think it was in Genesis, by the way. I believe that's where it's at. And he started looking at it. I said, I believe it's a little bit more. You don't want to embarrass anyone, you know. I believe it's a little bit more toward the front, you know. That's how much most people knows about the Word of God. Don't know anything. They may have heard what somebody said about it, but I'm going to tell you right now, you need to know it because it's not what Jimmy said or what Brother Kelly said, but it is the Word of God. This is God speaking. So we need to come into that knowledge, and it's our shortcoming if we're not studying the Word of God the way we should. That's one of those shortcomings. You know, if we allow TV or some other instance, I use that. If we allow that to come in and hinder us from studying the Word of God, that's a shortcoming. That's a sin. That's something we need to ask forgiveness for. If we don't pray the way we should, that's a shortcoming. So the person thinks they don't ever sin and fall short of the glory of God. They're wrong. I don't know of any perfect people. And I'm sure not perfect. I heard Brother Jimmy say he's not. So that's two of us here anyway. But anyway, we have, and I'm thankful for what God promised. He says, if you, and this is speaking to the Christian, if we'll confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us of our sin. I'm thankful for that. But I'd be in trouble if that wasn't so. All right. So, again, let me state that salvation does not come through our work or our goodness. I mean, our goodness is like filthy rags. There's no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how, if a person could be nearly, you know, I know people that's maybe not saved, or I've known people that's not saved, that they were just good people. They were good neighbors. They were just easy to be with, kind, so on and so forth. That's not what saves us. That's good to be that way, but that's not what salvation is. Salvation is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Now, salvation from guilt, the guilt of sin. I listened to this guy quite often. He expressed this the other day and it was kind of amazing the way he went about it, but he talked about God put within us a filter. Even if you're lost, there's a filter there. It's called a conscience. You don't have to tell anyone that that killing someone's wrong. That's within them. To have that filter. You don't have to tell someone that's stealing something wrong. There's a filter there. Now what happens is over time, this person becomes so evil and they sear that conscience of the state that, and some of them may say, well, that's okay because you're poor and that person's rich, just steal from him or do this or do that. But there is a filter there, even in everyone. There's a filter. So this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. And as I said, sometimes that gets kind of calloused over. And that's the reason why people just get worse and worse and worse and worse. Because that guilt feeling is not there. But that's not salvation. That's not salvation. That's something God put within us. Now, but know that the judgment for sin is death. It's eternal death. It's spiritual death. And that judgment of that penalty has to be paid for. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He paid that. I was watching this, and it was a good illustration, I thought, and I may have shared it with you before, but, you know, it's like going to a restaurant or something. Or it might be a situation where you get the keys to the city. It's already paid for. And you go up to pay the meal bill, you know. It's paid for. Salvation is paid for. And this is a thought that we need to grasp, too. It's been a while, but I grasped it some time ago. Jesus not only paid my sin debt, but he paid everyone's sin debt. I mean, all. All. Now, it's our problem if we don't accept that payment for sin. And that's the only way that we can be saved is by accepting that payment of sin debt. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come in. Look at their life a month from the time they said that they were saved. You don't see any changes. There's something wrong. Something bad is wrong. But I tell you, I think that a person that truly been born again, truly trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, this person saved. If he ain't living for God, he'll be the most miserable person that you'll meet. I found that so in my life. We're not living for God. God is dealing with us continually. Continually. But we have everlasting life. Now, I don't go along with the crowd that thinks you're saved today and lost tomorrow and saved the next day and lost the next day. I don't go along with that. Because God's word says that you're born eternally. He tells us that in the 3rd chapter of John in 2 or 3 different places. 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter and 9th verse says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Now, you've been called with a holy calling if you've been born again. You're saved. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, to be there to help us. And sometimes we don't understand a lot of things. But the main important thing is the best you can to do the will of God. Once a person truly believes and accepts his payment for sin, the condemnation of sin is gone forever. Now, that's not to say that you won't fall short and you won't fall out of fellowship. But I'm a firm believer in that if you're saved forever. It's eternal. It's eternal. And I know there's people who would disagree with that. But I think I can show them, if they want to be shown in the Bible, that it's so. And they'll be open-minded to God's word. Yeah. Person that's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ has passed from death into life. Do you know that a person that's not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Now, I really, truly, I was saved pretty young age. I can't relate to that really, because most of my life, you know, that's not saying that I've lived perfect my life, no. But I've been spiritually alive to the dealings of God. He's shown me things in my life that shouldn't be there. And maybe I've been wise enough to get rid of them. So I can't really relate to that being spiritually dead. But that's a terrible situation to be in. You say, well, how in the world can things like killing a person's mother or their dad or their brother or sister, how can that be? Well, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan's in control of this worldly establishment. When you think about being spiritually dead, you don't look to God. You look to this world and this establishment. That's just bad, bad, bad situation to be in. Spiritually dead. So we pass from that death to life, spiritually alive. But Jimmy, one of the first sermons he preached, I don't know if you remember it or not, he talked about the heart of man, the soul, the inner being of man. That's what God deals with. The devil deals with this world. He deals with the body. The lust of the body, the craving, you know, the cravings of the body and so on and so forth. But God deals with the heart. He deals with the inner man. God also sees everything in the inner man. He knows what's going on in there. You don't, but he does. He does. So when one becomes spiritually alive, he is open to the will of God. That's not to say that at times he won't be living in the will of God, but God shows him. I believe that. God shows him. Sometimes it may be a little harsh. You know, we don't do what God wants us to do. We're not doing the will of God. It might get a little harsh. I believe in that also. God deals with the inner man. When God's dealing with me, he's dealing with down here. Things that you can't see. Maybe you see some results of what's down here. But you can't actually see down in that heart. So we become spiritually alive when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We'll close here in just a minute.